Yes, that was good.
Okay, was there we go. Clap. We've still got it. We've still got it.
Wait, what song are we opening with today?
You know, I've been listening to a lot of Grace Jones.
Victor should have been a jazz musician.
Wow, that's where you went.
That's where I went.
Cool.
I was just
that's your association.
Ooh, it's, Victor. I mean, I was walking out late and I went into a jazz bar. I can't remember the lyrics.
She is
everything.
It's like there's nothing new to say about it because she's been iconic for so many decades, but it's like, wow. It's literally like God broke the mold on that one. Like, she is so fucking cool.
Unfortunately, what it makes me think of, because I recently went on a deep dive on it was because me and Luis were debating, and sadly he was right and I was wrong, if she was considered like mainstream or not mainstream disco at the time or whatever.
And so who said what?
Well, I don't remember, actually. I don't remember what the right answer is. I just remember that I was wrong. And I think she was considered like, I just, in my mind, was like, she's not disco at all. But I think I was wrong on that. Because the ones that I listen to her,
depends.
The albums that I listen to, I'm like, I wouldn't consider disco. But anyway, whatever. So then I went on the Wikipedia page and then like went on a deep dive on the like white French guy who was like I don't know exactly what the word, but like he sort of was like her, I guess, image maker. Not that she needs one. Obviously, she's iconic on her own. But, you know, like he was like the, I think he was like a artistic director or whatever. Like, you know, like the famous album cover where she's like running.
Oh, Jean-Paul Goud.
Yes.
That guy?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I've actually gone down that wormhole before.
Well, yes. And then did you have the unsavory and so French discovery of the name of his memoir?
No. Oh, God. What is it? Tell me quick.
It's called Jungle Fever. A moment of silence. And it was published like not that long ago. Wait, let me fact check.
It's 1983. It's still...
I feel like that seems recent.
Also did the Kim Kardashian Break the Internet.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So he's very obsessed, obviously.
You know, his last name sounds very similar to the French word for dildo, and I wonder if he was bullied as a child, and that's where this all comes from.
And that's why he's like actually like...
Jean-Paul Dildo.
Not me like trying to fact check and then like pulling up a book from Vanderbilt University Press that's called Jungle Fever, Exploring Madness and Medicine in 20th Century Tropical Narratives.
Damn, some shit I would have gotten tested on for my PhD.
No, I know. I'm literally like, Maria, have you read that?
Sounds interesting.
It does sound interesting, but it looks a little like self-published. Like the graphic
not
design.
To be... Oh, well, Duke University Press is like beautiful half the time.
It's
and
Vanderbilt.
Completely not. Oh, well, I don't know about
that. I don't know about
busted.
That either.
Oh,
my
Wait,
God.
I'm being a nag, but you are recording, right? Your voice memo's on?
Yeah, it's on. And sorry, okay, cool. I just, oh, my God. I just looked at the cover of...
Of
Jungle Fever by Jean-Paul
Goud.
Can you just look so that we're in it together?
Oh, God. Wait, I'm not sure I'm looking at the cover, the centerfold.
Oh.
With the cage?
With the cage.
Oh, okay. You know, Jesus Christ. But then it's like, I don't want to take away Grace Jones's agency.
No,
she has a
icon.
Son with him and like collaborated with him for years, so it's like, well, she obviously knows what she's doing with her image, but it's like, oh, it's weird to look at.
Yeah, it's definitely aged poorly, I guess would be the generous way to look at it.
But it's also so French. I mean, because
it's
like,
so
like,
French.
Selected works on his Wikipedia page has like another one that's like a Chanel fragrance ad with Vanessa Paradis as a bird in a cage. So it's like,
which is also
love putting women in cages. Ah! Like, it's like, all right. And it's just like, and then a French person would be like, well, yes, because the woman wants to be trapped by the man. And that is why the men like to fuck the women. Like, they wouldn't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah, I feel like they would be like, the desire is a cage.
Exactly. That makes me think of not to
wait. Also, I age am myself. Sorry. Go. No, you. No, please. No, you.
I mean, from editing the last episode, I'm like, damn, I need to stop interrupting Brittany. So maybe I should say no, you.
No, it's something. It's something I need to work on myself because I'm a big interrupter. But I only.
So am I.
But we only interrupt when we're really like on the same wavelength. Like, so if I don't interrupt you, it's actually a bad sign. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just like if we're having a conversation and all I'm doing is nodding.
I'm not listening.
Know that I have no idea what you just said.
Yeah, like I'm dissociated. Also, I just need to call myself in, and how stupid of I to not consider her disco. She was literally called the disco queen in 1979.
I mean, she's definitely disco, but I understand where you're coming from because she's like a musical... she's like
magpie
because also it's kind of like yeah exactly she yeah. kind of like reinvented herself every yeah. so often
yeah yeah yeah
and really I mean she is
warm leatherette
extremely stylish beautiful charismatic but I feel like the music really came from several partnerships from what I've heard like yeah. it's like she found producers and musicians and bands to like attach herself to mm-hmm. and then it's all like under Grace Jones or whatever
yeah
but I don't you know but yes she did have a disco era
I guess
I mean
for
when
me,
I did that like interview project with like three guys who were all active in the SF like nightlife scene in the 70s I had each of them choose like one song that was like emblematic
oh what
of,
a
like,
good question
queer nightlife and one of them brought a record of Pull Up to the Bumper Baby
oh I was hoping you were gonna say that so we could sing it
pull up to my bumper baby. It's so good
it's like sexual yeah well you know actually it, like being in a relationship with a musician has made me because I couldn't possibly just say that in a normal way has made me reflect on the how should I say it like a good producer is kind of no offense like a dime a dozen like and I feel like people love to like disparage like pop icons by being like oh well you know like they didn't even like write their own song or whatever mm-hmm. I mean Luis is separate because he is not this because he like write he does everything but like with the Grace Jones of it all like sort of like you know being in these like synergistic collaborations with different whatever producers or whatever the word would be like so many music dudes are burdened by embodiment and like can and are you know talented musicians or whatever but like and just from like you know going to shows with Luis and like chit-chatting with like you know his friends or the bands that are opening and it's so like and you know of course it also comes from a lot of them being like straight dudes and like just so many of them say almost like word for word the same shit where they're just like oh my God, I just like, I love everything about, you know, making music except for being looked at. I hate being looked at. And then, so then when you find a fucking dynamic goddess, like Grace Jones, who's not only...
Who's like literally a model also. What? I mean, on top of being an excellent performer, it's like she's one of the like top most beautiful people, I think.
She's amazing to look at.
On the planet.
And she engages with that like, you know, energy exchange that in my opinion is what like, you know, makes, is what separates musicians from... Mm-hmm. performers/artists you know what I mean like you want to have you need that person who allows their body not just to be looked at but to be projected upon and interacted with you know which regardless of the gender identity of the person doing it is I would argue a feminized standpoint whatever relationality it's a very feminine relationality to be processing the energies of the people in the crowd, channeling the vibes, whatever. So all that is to say, I feel like there needs to be like more love for like, you know, people who are like just like the like insane performers, even if they like aren't involved with the music making, which I don't know if Grace Jones was or wasn't.
Yeah, I wasn't. I mean,
I know you weren't. It was
please do not misrepresent my words. I was not coming for her. But I think I just meant why her like ears
style
changed so much.
Yeah.
I assume it's also just that her genuine interest changed. But I do think that it's like a series of collaborations.
Yeah. A lot of covers too.
I think also, like, and I'm not intelligent enough on music history to, like, really talk about it, but I think Grace Jones is also this, like, incredible figure who was, like, born in the right time and in the right place where, like, she can bring together. And I think this is part of the interview, actually, with the three DJs and, like, dancers who I interviewed, was that because she's born in Jamaica and had all these connections to Caribbean musicians, but then she also had this foot in the gay world by virtue of modeling, she was able to bring together, because, like, a lot of dance music is really just, like, some sort of variation of rhythms that started in Jamaica. I mean, in the Caribbean generally, but especially Jamaica. And so she sort of had this, like, access to, like, the two, do you know what I mean? Like, two of the poles of dance music, where it's like, okay, the musicians who have, like, the fundamental sort of, like, mother beat or whatever of, like, where disco comes from. Well, and then the gay guys who are making, like, money off it and, like, making it global. And she's, like, able to talk to both people. So I feel like she's kind of, like, a superhero as far as, like, 70s, 80s, like, dance music goes.
Well,
in
and,
that way.
And also, like, her coming from, like her I'm like 90% sure her dad was slash, well, I guess he's dead now, like, a Pentecostal minister, but just, like, also, like, where so much, you know, musical training comes from is, like, you know, the church.
And honestly, what we all should thank Grace Jones for is pounding the alarm, I don't know how many years ago, when she was asked to collaborate with Lady Gaga and she said no. And then someone somewhere, I can remember, was like, why did you turn down Lady Gaga? Like, would you ever work with her? And she said, no, Lady Gaga is an empty vessel. I didn't feel a soul. Do you remember this? And it's like, yeah. And then at the time, I remember
empty
being like,
vessel.
Oh no, like, the icons are fighting. Like, I love them both. But then now in, like, 2026, I'm like, Gaga is an empty vessel. I don't feel a soul. Like, I'm like, that is word for word
so
how
she
I feel
basically
about Lady
was
Gaga.
Like, Lady Gaga is satanic. Get the fuck
I mean,
out
I
of here.
I think she was talking about her as an artist, but it's an amazing, what? It's an amazing soundbite.
Because
it's like
disingenuous, because I happen to know there's a little monster deep inside.
I know, but the new stuff, like, Lady Gaga has become, like, she went full shapeshifter to the point that now she's, like, shapeshifted into just, like, a normal girl. And I'm like, I feel like I'm not alone in feeling betrayed.
I haven't touched base.
She's, like, engaged to a pharmaceutical executive and her new music is, like, really generic.
She's making sure she's getting a place in the bunker.
Well, no, quite literally. And there's rumors that she actually lives in Mill Valley.
I've heard this, which is also very basic.
Because of her fiance, husband, I don't know, because of his work. But then it's a little sad because I'm like, okay, is she a shapeshifter or does she just have, like, severe codependent
personality,
like,
disorder
issues? Because then it's like, on her new album, she, like, listed her husband as, like, a co-writer on all the songs.
Oh, yeah, like, that's giving, I mean, us
that's
being
weird.
So, like, 12-step pilled, but, you
no,
know,
it's like that,
sometimes you
no,
learn.
The one thing she has is her work.
And you know what? And you need to keep those boundaries firm as a...
Wait, and literally because I know a lot about Lady Gaga, because, like you said, there is a little monster deep inside. But, like, I think it's in 5'2" or in an interview, I can't remember, where she was like, oh, like, if I have to choose between a man and my music, I'll choose my career every day. Because, like, music's never going to wake up one morning and decide he doesn't want to fuck me anymore. And it's like, you are literally choosing a man. Like, you
yeah,
lied.
Wait, oh my God, I'm on her Instagram and that's what he looks like? Oh my God, they look like their names are,
dude,
like, Kaylee and Kevin, and they live in, like, Mesa, Arizona. Is Mesa, Arizona a place?
It is. I'm going to say, yeah. I mean, and if it's not, it's like the bland community
right.
they live in, like Mesa
no.
Valley or something.
No.
I mean, it's like really
oh,
weird.
Oh my God. She literally says, you are my artist of the year.
I mean, this is what I'm saying. No, it's like she is an empty vessel and there's no soul there. Like,
and his fucking basic cum has filled her up.
Yeah, it's really weird. I mean, I also think that she might have simply gone broke. Like, I think we
really?
Might
How?
All have, like, miscalculated, because obviously she's so rich, but, like, there can be debt. There's this, like, medical shit with, like, lupus. I feel like her career slowed down. There were a couple flops. I don't know. I'm like, kind
Why
of like,
do
maybe she just had
lupus?
To pick, like, a random. Who else has lupus?
Oh, no, sorry. They all have. No, I feel like they either all have lupus or Lyme
Oh,
disease.
Or Lyme. Yeah.
But you know what? I actually saw a TikTok that really hit to the heart of the matter that I'd actually, like, never heard someone say this, where they were, like, responding to, like, Bella Hadid's, you know, famous Lyme disease situation. And I guess she had, like, posted, like, a like a story being like, oh, I just can't get out of bed, whatever. And then the person was like, well, yeah, like, what, but how, basically just being like all these celebrities with, you know, air quotes, like mysterious autoimmune diseases, like low key, like that's kind of just what happens when you have like a 10-year eating disorder. I know. I was like, oh, fuck.
That literally gagged me. No, yeah, me too. I mean, I it's was like, well, surprise. Fuck. It's bad for you. No. I mean, we all saw it on TV when Yolanda Hadid was eaten almond.
Yes, yes. That's what all the comments
holy
were like.
Shit.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. Like that, your muscles can like wither. Like you can't do that forever. I mean, and also like, let's be honest, a lot of people have autoimmune disorders but just have to go to work and then they just like die young. Like it's also a privilege about like just who gets to like take time off or whatever.
Yeah, I guess I'm also,
I mean,
like,
I'm sure the Hadid daughters have worked extremely hard at periods in their life, but I'm just saying like, and their schedules must be crazy, blah blah blah, but like the, I don't know, I mean, Yolanda's treatment was insane. She was like flying to South Korea for like stem cells and shit. That's like not like, it's not unimaginable, but it is like just the scale of it felt like it was really like almost a display of wealth.
Well, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I don't know. There's something, there's some connection that I'm not prepared to make, but there's something there about like Lyme disease as like the chosen catch-all disease for like the wealthy.
Yeah, and I feel like it's probably really bad for people who are suffering from Lyme disease.
Oh, you mean like the sort of like affective association with like,
yeah,
the like people like, I just feel like every time it's like always like Real Housewives.
Exactly. And I feel like it makes it probably
Real
like
Housewives, the elites of our country.
Real Housewives, Real House, Real
Lies.
Wives.
You tried.
I tried. Remember when that gay Colin posted, which if he ever listens, will probably be mad that I referred to him that way. Remember when my best friend Colin...
Just say gay guy, which is one of my absolute favorite phrases in the whole English language. Gay guy. It just, it just like really rolls. Oh my God. We were talking at the river about like a group about like what would your tramp stamp be? And
you want gay guy?
Well, I've always said that it would be Lori Moore.
Oh,
which is,
not Mary Gateskill, Lori Moore.
Well, I don't know. There's something about all the two O's. Yeah, the two O's and the two R's that really satisfies. And also, I love the idea of being the only person in the world with that tattoo.
You would probably be one of a kind, yes.
Yeah, but now I'm like, maybe it should be gay guy. Maybe that's more genuine.
Maybe I should get gay.
Do you remember that?
I had a really great idea for one the other day.
Do you remember that really like scarily beautiful like... woman that we met like years and years ago when we were being like
with gay bar on the collarbones
I thought it was on her throat.
Not a woman anymore, pretty sure.
Well, fuck my drag. That doesn't surprise me at all.
Wait, I want a throat tattoo lately.
Do it. Just
what should I get?
Maybe don't get a kiss mark because it has invited a lot of unwanted attention in my life.
I'll get fruit flies.
I like that. Well, I guess it maybe to some that has like an association of like poop and decay.
Okay, yeah, true.
But aren't those two important parts of the queer experience?
I'll get property of Brittany.
Maria. That's for our second podcast.
Yeah, that's for our other subscription
fruit flies
service.
After dark.
FFAD.
Fruit flies in the dark room.
Wait, it should be FFAG. Fruit flies after...
Oh, because you want it to be. Oh, got it, got it.
You know what I want it to be. You know. And I'm unfortunately no longer entitled to give you a card for that one. No. I gave you your T card.
Right, right.
I think, and, you know, I don't. I would be shocked if anyone was offended if you said the F one.
The F one.
The F one.
Fruit flies.
Ford F-150.
Fruit flies. After gay. No, that's so stupid and awful.
Fruit flies after generosity, because if you're generous, you get to see the premium stuff.
Fruit. Okay, yeah. Okay. Well, we'll workshop it. I can't really think of anything. My brain
we'll
is literally like
on that.
Apple.
Fruit flies amazing granola.
Yeah, that's literally where my brain is. That's
horrible. That's
the
horrible
level that I'm operating on. And Maria said, Grace Jones is a talentless whore.
I didn't say that. I worship her.
No, we really do. And like, honestly, I kind of feel like, do the kids know about her?
Well, do the kids know about us? Do you know what I mean?
Wait,
did you write Grace Jones deep dive on the
podcast? No, you did.
What?
I didn't.
When?
I didn't write that. Has someone hacked our shared notes app about podcast topics? Wait, that's
like really weird. I must have written that in like a fugue, because I was just looking at the clock and I was like, surely we are not spending 23 minutes on Grace Jones. She wasn't even on our topics list, but she actually was.
And meanwhile,
the list is looking pretty sparse otherwise, and I'm kind of brain dead. So if you got other stuff to say,
mine says under my list of podcast ideas, I just wrote my sandwich. And all I have to say about that is there's this deli nearby, or like bodega, whatever. Uh-huh. One time me and Luis also got into a fight because he was like, why do you call them bodegas? Why are you trying to sound like you're from New York? And I was like, I can call them bodegas. But then we looked it up.
I mean, there's a lot of discourse around it.
No, I know. Then
bodega has to be Latino owned. That's the new.
I thought it was like even more specific, like Puerto Rican owned. Bodega.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
I think that sounds about right.
Puerto Rican,
I think when I was in Havana, I think they call them like kiosquitos, like a little kiosk.
Whatever. The corner store. Near my house, which is owned by Turkish people, and it is like the most like
wait, there's a word for that too.
Yeah, I don't know that word, but it's like I actually like fucking love that specific. I guess it's actually technically like a liquor store, whatever, I don't know, but like they like every variety of like poppers they sell, every variety of like whippets they sell, like the torches.
Wow.
They sell Lillette. They sell like all.
Oh, you love that shit.
I know, but I'm literally like this corner.
Wait, you said
store.
They sell the Whippet crackers?
Many different types.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's like a little bit rarer now than it used to be. I feel now yeah. Like sometimes you have to go to like a restaurant supply company store.
Yeah, no, they don't give a fuck. They're like literally selling like Fernet and then like all of the accoutrements to like smoke crack, and then also like double Scorpio poppers, and they also make delicious sandwiches.
Okay, Turkish deli.
Okay,
drop
wait.
The address.
Oh, and
let's go on location. Let's interview.
Yeah,
them.
I forget what it's. I don't know the name of it, but and then they have like a big ass TV. I love a corner store with a big ass TV, and they're always
totally.
Playing like
music videos,
like wedding dances, like love. Anyway.
Love.
The only reason that's on the list is because I got a sandwich from them and it was called like the Big Flush. And I was just like,
they're like, it's because it's poop on bread.
No, I was like, that must be like a poker. Like,
no, that's a royal flush.
Oh, maybe it was called the royal flush.
Okay. Big Flush. It looks like you're.
Should we keep recording?
I mean, as long as the microphone is still close to your mouth, it looks like
it's
pretty close.
Everyone, I'm peeing. I brought the microphone and the laptop into the bathroom.
So if anyone hears a big flush, it was pretty.
Oh my god, I'm going to turn on the sink. I'm embarrassed.
I had something I wanted to say. Bodega sandwich. Wait, it's coming back. Wait. Oh. Did you see the news video where they're like some tenderloin corner store? I won't say bodega, Louise.
Yeah.
Some corner store in the tenderloin was like accused of selling meth, like from like just like over the counter meth. Whoa. And so the news story is like, local tenderloin corner store accused of selling meth. And then they're like interviewing the shop owner and he's like, we don't sell meth. Nope, no meth here. And like the funniest way where it's like, you're definitely selling meth. And then the camera like cuts just this like bowl of like pills.
What, like loose pills?
yeah, like it looks like Adderall or something, like so weird or whatever. And he's just like, yep, nope, of course I don't sell drugs. I don't sell meth. There's no, that would be crazy. Anyway, I think they got shut down. But the audio from that interview is just like, so I'll try and find it. I don't even know if it's like available anymore. But
that reminds me of the Quickleys and the Tenderloin that got in trouble because they were stealing or they were selling stolen like laptops and phones, and they would just be like stacked in the corner,
totally,
like behind the popcorn chicken
with like 50
50 like old ass like MacBooks in the corner.
Yeah. Okay, it's hard to search because it literally was just called Corner Store. Like, yeah. It's the official name of the... Okay, wait. Okay, I found it, so I'll drop that audio into the episode.
We selling drugs out the store, basically, then, yes. Is what they're saying.
Because they found the... Here's a picture of the meth. This is the meth.
Oh, man, yeah, that's... That ain't no mother... meth, no matter
what else can we talk about while you're pissing in a river?
So thoughts on pride was a riot, etc. I've
been seeing so many posts. I'm like, can we stop posting? Can we stop posting about pride yet? I mean, should we go into the local events considering our audience is so international? I mean, I guess, okay, I'll give a brief summary and then we can discuss.
I mean, I don't really have any tea. I personally had a lot of fun.
You and I were at Trans March at Dolores Park.
Yes, I was.
And Brittany was there for like 2 hours waiting for me because I was late. And I found her about 3 feet in front of the singer-songwriter's stage. And I was like, okay, she's really feeling the music.
I felt like...
Maybe you just didn't want to make eye contact with any of the... gender deviants all around you.
No shit like that makes me be like, yes, keep San Francisco weird, you know.
Literally.
Because it's not, I mean, you know, obviously I'm painting with a broad strokes here, but if I were to...
You never.
Never. Me never. Me, a liar and a fabulist, never. But I would say, you know, the beautiful dolls that we are all used to seeing are more likely to be like maybe like taking a disco nap for like the parties that they're gonna host later that night. And so like the majority of the trans march are like the, like, I'm like, yeah, like the like old ass, like, you know, spectrum of, you know, like freak ass, like from gender nonconformity to like, you know, I transitioned in like 1950 energy.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Or I was born in 1930, but I transitioned yesterday, which I also love.
Oh, that's also one of my that's soft
a weak,
spots.
That's a week. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was seeing like so many of the queens from Aunt Charlie's who I...
Out of drag.
Who I never see out of drag.
In the daylight,
eating like goldfish crackers, like sitting like crisscross applesauce. Just
God
like,
fucking bless them. No, that was a really cute part of the day, yeah.
But everyone, I just felt like so, like, I just felt such a like dumb, lonely loser, like getting there like 2 hours early and being alone.
Yeah, Brittany, you were the biggest loser at Trans March. Don't worry.
Well, I just felt like weird being there alone.
Just silent.
Like just... I don't know. So I was like, oh, I'm just going to like...
Did you freeze?
Oh, no. Every day I'm shuffling. Okay, so we're having some technical difficulties. Because even though obviously we see each other all the time and live in the same city, we've chosen to do this over Zoom. So I watched a deep dive YouTube video on the rise and fall of LMFAO. Zillennials will remember. Every day I'm shuffling. And, oh, wow, this Zoom is really... Oh, are we back? I mean, I guess it wasn't, like, that juicy. It was just that, like, they were a duo. Well, did you know that they're uncle and nephew, the two members of LMFAO? And they are actually Nepo babies, Motown royalty Nepo babies.
Oh, hi.
Oh, Hello. We're back.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. It's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet and go over everything. They said that time's supposed to heal you lying down my dreams. Hello.
Hello.
And a million miles. So hello from the other side. At least I can say that I tried to tell you I'm sorry for all the things that I've done. Okay, we have like 5 minutes.
And have talked about really very little.
We've talked about Grace Jones. This is a quickie episode because we had Pride. I'm going to camp at. We're just girls.
Maria's so popular.
Okay. Pride. March was cute. Brittany and I didn't see Scott Wiener being escorted to the park, but thank God / it's just normal. They don't let elected officials there.
Honestly,
I actually think he went just to make a video to get more donations. I think it was like calculated.
I'm gonna flip. I can't even with his pussy ass, whiny, cringe motherfucking statement being like, I was afraid for my life.
Yeah, and also okay, also, let's not give him too much airtime.
Okay,
and
you're right.
Let's keep it moving to the end of Trans March, which I actually find much more surprising because the Scott Wiener confrontation is like, that's happened every time a politician has tried to come. And
they're not barring him from Steamworks, that's for sure.
Oh. So then we had a silly experience of like, we didn't want to actually march. So we were going to take the train.
Our Lyme disease was flaring up.
Our bad attitudes were flaring up. That's what it was. So then we were like, okay, let's go take the train to Turk and Taylor to catch the end. Cause we wanted to see the speeches and performance and stuff. But then our friend had her car and was like, I'll drive us, which was obviously never going to work. So then we sort of just drove around Dolores Park for 30 minutes in a circle and then took the train to Turk and Taylor. But then as we were eating dinner, like a block away, I guess, this whole situation unfolded with the cops.
Because we weren't there.
Yeah, exactly. We weren't there to mediate.
Yeah.
So I guess what happened was like someone was tagging a building, and then I think the other thing was that someone had a water gun filled with paint and like disabled a security camera with it.
Which is very glam.
That is sexy. Some tranarchist, like, hacker. That gets me wet. And then I guess the cops, like, freaked out, which is, like, Trans March happens every year. Every time there's a protest, which Trans March doesn't even feel like a protest at this point.
Not really.
It's, like, the route is public. Everyone knows it's going to happen. There's, like, Muni is, like, there are disruptions. You know, like, the whole city knows. But it's, like, whenever there's a protest or even just a big public gathering, there's going to be tagging. There's going to be graffiti. Mm-hmm. Maybe a security camera will get covered in paint. The idea that SFPD just, like, flipped out is laughable. Like, I think, personally, that it's, like, clear that there was, like, instructions to, like, keep a closer handle on everything this year to continue this sort of like law and order bullshit.
Yes. This San Francisco's back narrative, you know?
Yeah.
This anti-doom loop shit where it's like, we don't have graffiti anymore. We only have trans people who work at Google.
Yeah. And then it's also like, you know, like there's a huge hotel that's been built at the corner of like, I guess it's like Market between Turk and Taylor. It's like that whole triangle. You know the hotel that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, when they were trying to get the environmental review to build that hotel, you and I went and gave like somewhat ill-informed testimony to be like, don't let them build the hotel. But everyone was like, well, the Tenderloin could use another hotel.
The
Tenderloin could use storefronts for nonprofits. I don't know what's going on.
I mean, also the Tenderloin but has then lots it's like of hotels.
The Tenderloin does have lots of hotels, but all I was going to say is like what that does do to change the neighborhood is that now there's like way more security guards. There's shiny, but like that block of Turk I mean, also that block of Taylor, but especially the block of Turk between, like, let's say Market and Taylor. Mm-hmm. That's two blocks, sorry. But with Counterpulse and everything on it, that you can do whatever the fuck you want. The whole block says no parking and it's cars all the way down 24
it's
hours.
It's gorgeous,
a day.
You know what and I mean? It's lawless.
That should be an autonomous zone.
Yeah.
The idea that taking out a security camera on that block would trigger this level of, like, police
when there's probably response? Like 10 other security cameras. I'm sure it did, like, nothing. You know what I mean?
It's insane. It's completely insane.
What I want to say, though, yeah. is just, like, the Tenderloin has lots of hotels, just not the ones that, like, mm-hmm. you know, appeal to this, you know, San Francisco's back on the right track. Like, it's like
yeah,
you know, I'm just talking,
expensive hotels.
I'm just talking about, like, you know, like, SROs and
yeah,
houses
well, also
or whatever.
Just, like, random flea bag motels yeah, that are, like, the only exactly. actually affordable places to crash for the night. Or, like, all the hostels. Because you always see, like, random
yes,
Central
true.
European tourists who are, like, terrified.
Yeah, and it's literally, like, honestly, like... Like without SROs, like, what would so many people do, you know?
Oh, yeah, there would be no, I mean, that's, like, that's SF, LA, maybe other
that's,
cities, but that's,
and
like...
It, you're right, it is, like, a very, like, deep SF thing, uh-huh. architecturally, whatever. Phenomenologically, culturally.
Yeah, and then it's, like, the next day, this whole process reproduced itself with the Stud Alley Renegade, and I guess one of the reasons the cops... were called. I mean, I'm sure the cops have been called every year. It's a huge gathering. But, you know, this was the seventh year in a row that folks tried to do. It was
7 years they've been doing Stud Alley?
The last crew did it for 6 years, whoever they are. And then...
Oh, I thought there were only four.
And then...
Time has compressed after COVID because of the pokey.
Exactly. And that's when my voice got so deep, and that's why I'm a woman, but I look like a man.
Exactly.
No, and then in one of the calls to the police this year was, I guess, from, and I'm sorry to make fun of this, but I do think it's ironic. This woman called SFPD and was like, the music is triggering my autistic child.
Whoa.
And it's like,
wait,
you think there aren't any autistic people starting that renegade? Put on the headphones.
Put on
send
some
your child into the
headphones.
Streets. Your child is going to love it. Your child will be among like-minded people. Like,
literally.
This is the safest place in the city for someone with autism tonight.
Literally.
Like,
I'm
sorry to make light of the situation because it's obviously horrifying. The videos of the cops, like, rushing down the alley in full
scary.
Riot gear, completely unwarranted, completely insane, looks premeditated, but just that phone call, I was like, wait, this is a footnote to everything horrible that happened is like, L-O
fucking
L.
No, but you know what? It does speak to something. It speaks to, like, the fundamental flaw in, like, neoliberal identity politics, you know what I mean? To be like, what? I mean, me just assuming it's, like, a rich white woman with a rich white
I've
autistic
got no idea.
Child, so I don't know. But, you know, like, I think that's maybe the image that they would want to present, you know, like, the children, like,
the,
you
children.
Know, the children couldn't watch Bluey or whatever the fuck, and it's like, like you said, like, this is an autism friendly zone.
Yeah, I know. It's so funny. It's like, well, the cattier girls need the bass that loud to soothe their neurodivergence.
Yeah,
so it's
exactly.
just sort of like opposing needs.
Right. Exactly.
And I don't want to expect that, you know, I'm tempted to be like, you moved to Soma. Didn't you know it was going to be loud? But like, I have no idea who this woman is. Maybe she's like lifelong, you know, I'm not going to speculate, whatever.
Well,
but all I know is that in previous years, those calls have gone ignored for whatever reason. Maybe it's just critical mass. Maybe it's because Malia Obama was there. Maybe it's because, you know, SFPD was a little bit more concerned with optics around Pride Weekend.
Maybe it was because it was the fun police.
Or maybe... we could wonder if Daniel Lurie took it extremely personally when he got kicked out of Transmarch last year, which again happens to all elected officials. That's the policy of Transmarch. But I wonder if he got butthurt.
Mm. Wow, Mario, what a homophobic word to use.
I wonder if he got fudge packed. No, it's like, because that was really gross.
I hate
because
that,
he like, you know, he like allegedly called the Opera House during
right.
the PG&E outage.
Yes.
So I'm like, you know, he's petty. Like, there's evidence for Daniel Lurie's pettiness.
What's him and Scott Wiener's relationship like?
I have no idea.
Also, what's... Sorry.
I mean, I assume they're somewhat allied, but I have no idea, actually. I mean, one's in city government, one's in state government, so it's possible that Scott Wiener no longer, like, needs Daniel Lurie. I would imagine Daniel Lurie's endorsing him for Nancy Pelosi's seat.
The, like,
I have to go in 2 minutes.
Okay, then I don't need to go on a Scott Wiener ramp. That's not how we want to spend our final 2 moments together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He did. He endorsed Scott Wiener for Congress. So they're friends. But I mean, so, and then we're not, I mean, even, we don't even have time to talk about the Manny sexual assault allegations.
I guess I'm kind of like, well, that doesn't really surprise me. Also because I was talking to some people who will go unnamed and they were like, mm-hmm. yeah, like I've chatted with him on, allegedly mm-hmm. chatted with him on Grindr before. And like, it doesn't surprise me that he's like a boundary pusher at, to say the very least.
Yeah, I don't think it'll really make an impact on his campaign because I think people, cynically, I believe that because I think people's like empathy for male victims of sexual assault is just like,
especially gay male victims.
Yeah, I think, and because his Manny's voter base is gay and he's running to represent the caster, so, I think most of them are going to be like,
that little tease was asking for it.
It is just like,
yeah.
I keep walking past like decrepit gay men who are tabling for Manny and the Castro. And I'm like, is this a strategy? Because I don't want to yell at that guy. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I don't want to give him a heart attack.
Whoa.
Like, because if it was Manny, I'd be like, fuck you. Fuck the Civic Joy Fund. Fuck,
dude,
you know, whatever.
Fuck
Israel. Fuck the billionaires. But it's like, it's like this old man.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, he probably just thinks Manny's cute. Mm. He probably has like no politics beyond that.
Wow. Yeah. Who knows? Who can say? Okay, wait. Look, how do we wrap this up in a fun, flirty, funky little way?
I know. We always come back to the same depression, don't we?
We are such like annoying, like crusty old, like.
In the echo chamber.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Do we even qualify? Whatever. I don't know. Like, just like, you know. Lefties being like, it's all bad, we want the doom loop, like bring it on, but then we're also like but blankets,
but then we're like, Mariah Carey got implants, how amazing.
Yeah, exactly. We're like, bring on the AI like market bust, like I'm ready for it. But
go from bust to bust.
Oh, there we go. There,
if you know what I mean.
It's, yeah. I was going to try to imagine, like, if the AI boom was an anthropomorphized woman, how big or small its boobs would be.
Mm.
I think they would be
massive.
Really big, I guess. Like, to the point where they're like, to the point where you're like, I can't tell if it's real or not.
Unless it's like an annoyingly.
Okay. She's not gonna think that's clever.
Sorry. Yes, and
this
yes,
is me,
and
like I just like think that's how minions talk, but I don't think that's how they talk.
Someone told me they're just speaking to gold.
I did. No.
Is that true?
No. It's that it's minionese was created by a linguist.
Not minionese.
I think that's what it's called. It was created by a linguist, and it draws heavily on Spanish and Tagalog.
Well, there you go.
Minions.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Minionese.
It's time. I'm so sorry.
Minionese, or often referred to as banana language, is a fictional language spoken by the Minions. Contains lots of elements. Oh, my God. No. I'm an adult or I'm a kid. I have to pick to be on this website.
But what if you're both?
I'm young at heart. Okay, wait, here we go. In addition, Minionese also contains words from other languages such as Spanish, Italian, Chinese, Tagalog, French, and Russian, including Spanish-sounding words like paratu and la boda, French. Okay, maybe false news. I guess it's like a bunch of things.
It sounds... of those, most like Spanish and Tagalog because there's so many vowels.
Yeah.
I guess we get everyone a song from the Minions.
Mary, fuck, kill. Kevin, Bob, or Stuart.
Are those Minions?
Those are the three main Minions.
Kevin, Bob, and Stuart Minions. How do I know who's who? Kevin the short.
She says,
no, Bob,
she
Bob's
says
the
thirstily.
Shortest one.
She says thirstily. Who's the shortest?
Okay. I would fuck I think it's Kevin who is like medium sized with one eye. I would kill.
No, don't worry about Stuart.
Stuart with the little hair sticking. No, wait, Stuart's so cute. How can I kill any of them?
Stuart's the one with one eye.
You know what? I'll fuck them all. I'll marry them all. And then I'll kill them all.
Wait, one of them is named Dick.
Okay, I gotta go. I love
you. Okay, love you. See you tonight. Bye.
See you. Oh, you're coming?
Yeah, duh. Okay,
wear a mask.
I'm gonna wear like three masks.
Hello.
Okay, cool.
Okay,
bye.
Love you. Bye.
It's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to me to go over everything. They say the time's supposed to heal ya, but I ain't done much healing. Hello, can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger and free. I've forgotten how it felt before the world fell at our feet. There's such a difference between us and the mirror.